celebrate for up to 7 days and have a huge feast. Conversely, the bride-to-be, so to speak, she knows that the groom has paid the price and has gone away to prepare the place, and now waits expectantly because we're not entirely sure when the father is going to say, now it's ready. And we're never quite entirely sure when the groom is suddenly going to appear. And so keeps herself prepared and ready. And has her handmaidens, her ladies helping her, keeping an eye on what's going on outside. So they're ready to announce, here comes the groom. And so when Jesus takes these 11 men who are now left after Judas has gone out the door, and says to them, I'm going to my father's house to prepare a place for you. He's using well-known metaphors for them to understand. And he's going into his father's house, and there's a room there. Sometimes it's translated mansion, something different on my name. There's going to be room for us in the house of the Father. And Jesus is going to pay the price for the bride. Now, as he speaks this to his disciples, he hasn't yet paid that price. But we know he has all now. We know through his death and his resurrection, the bride price has been paid, so that the bride can be spotless and pure. And just as we see in many, many marriages demonstrated within the Jewish culture, the groom has now gone back to the father's house, and we, the bride-to-be, wait upon him, trusting that he's done all that is right and is preparing a place for us. I said earlier that when Jesus was washing the feet, it was a statement of saying, trust me, the bride. say it again because it'll be reminded. There's a famous one about the blind man and the elephant. It's a famous analogy about all these blind people, and what they're doing is they're around the elephant, and they're actually, you know, touching the elephant on various bits and then describing what they believe they see. So when a person checks out the big leg of the elephant, they're describing, okay, this animal is obviously, you know, very big and it has one big foot. And someone else who's touching the trunk of the elephant says, no, it's not a big foot, it's a giant trunk. That's what this animal is. The guy is a bit braver than most and going behind the elephant and goes, short to the tail, and says, no, it's just tail. It starts describing the animal in a different way. You can't all be right in 20 seconds. And then they realise, well, maybe we only see part of what's going on. And it's often used to describe, well, okay, so, you know, this particular religion has this viewpoint of God, and they only see part of it, and this particular religion has this part, and this is part of it. It's only when you can all get together can you have a really good viewpoint. Except the elephant knows what the elephant is. It's not reliant upon other people being around it to tell it what it is. The elephant's got it. It always has known. It always will know it. And luckily for us, when we're talking about God instead of an elephant, God has the capability to tell us who he is. And that's genuinely what I think happens as we read the revealed word of God in the scriptures. He is revealing who he is, his character. And not only as we get the Old Testament does he reveal who he is, but he goes one step further and he demonstrates it. Jesus Christ, God personified in humanity. As we were made in his image, Jesus takes that image upon himself and becomes human forever. He doesn't stop being human, by the way. He doesn't go back to heaven and go up to it. Dealt with that bit. Did it for 33 years, that was enough. No. He's human forever. And so, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know the Father, look towards me. Don't you know? Because now you can. And he says, you can know me, and you will know the Father. And do you love the promise there? He says, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, know him and have seen him. That's a lovely promise by Jesus. Promise you do know him. None of you 11 are going anywhere. You're always going to be with me. We know God. You and I are blessed because we now know the Holy Spirit dwells within us. That was still to come. He was still to we know as soon as we commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. We know God. You see, it's all in the angle that you look at. Where you're sitting right now, you may not be able to see anything. If you twist it, you've got this lovely field going out, vineyards. Slight variation becomes an ocean. The third angle, it becomes a city. I always think holograms are incredible. You know? How can three things be one? But it's all the angle you're at, isn't it? The ocean isn't not there. Of course it's there. I might not be able to see it from the angle. The city doesn't disappear completely. It doesn't evaporate. It's still there. In fact, it is. The vineyard's present. We just have to that salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about the gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's sufferings and his great glory afterwards. They were told that their messages were not for themselves but for you, and now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached it in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Honestly, angels sit down and they look and go, humanity, we're incredible. We're made in the image of God. Angels aren't. They're clever, they're amazing, they can do great stuff, but they're simply messengers for God. But we, broken as we were, separated as we were by the sin of Adam and Eve, once restored by the actions of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit restored back to us with the image of God. And angels look on. Can you see them going, wow, that's incredible. That's just amazing. Have you seen something so breathtaking? Stand breathtaking together, and what a majesty is going on. That's how angels view us. And those in the Old Testament who were faithful, they preached the future that we now get to live. There will be a time, O Israel, where the Messiah will make things right, where sin no longer will proclaim its rule over us. There will be a time when we will be righteous before God, not because of the things we did, but because he declared it. And that's you. That's incredible stuff. Then Jesus goes on to say this. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now you see, this is a fascinating thing. It also is confusing. I don't actually think it's that tricky. Does it mean we can ask any single thing? Jesus will go, well, I made a promise for it. You know? First thing we all think about is, you know, let's pay off the mortgage. You know, get some of our favorites. We toy them, you know, play around with most of the guys. I'm sure if I asked any guy around here, they've got a secret thing that it's a new garden set for their wife. All sorts of these things we could want. Doesn't mean that. So people kind of go, oh, hang on a second. Jesus is saying one thing, but he means another. There's all these caveats to it. You kind of go, what does it really mean? So if you're smart, you see there's a whiteboard here, which generally means you've got to do work. To give an idea of what we're allowed to pray for and what God means when we should be praying for it, we need a framework of saying, you can do greater things than I did. So the framework is, what did Jesus spend his time doing? And I'm going to give you a big key clue here. It comes from Micah 6 verse 8. O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In fact, to do what is right is justice, mercy, and walking humbly with God. That's what he spent his time doing. Now I'm going to add one extra thing. Because Jesus is showed when he went putting people back into community. Now's your time to shout out to the one who's there. Any one of those. Okay, the synagogue. Yep. So he demonstrated justice by overturning the tables in the synagogue, allowing people a free way back to know who Jesus was. Woman in adultery, yep. He is back under community. It is, I'll show you why. So the issue of blood is this woman had 12 years that she couldn't be touched or be around anybody because she was considered unhealed. Healed, state publicly, or bracket to community. Tim, woman at the well, which one do you want it under? Okay, woman at the well, mercy, yeah, put it. So the woman at the well demonstrates her mercy and therefore reestablishes. My will. We've yet to come to that exact point, but it's there. The Garden of Gethsemane. The fight for the minds of souls was not done on the cross, it was done the night before the Garden of Gethsemane. That's when it was. Blind man. Yep. 5,000, think it be. Build a community. One leper came back. Yep. Any others? Keep going. Paying taxes, walking humbly. Ha ha, love it. There's a sermon for when you're coming up to around June, isn't it? Washing feet. So the robber's on the cross. Okay, yep, Rebecca. A Canaanite woman who wanted a child healed. Yep. Woman, this is your son. Okay, community, mother and son. Yep, right. Any others? Okay, Nicodemus. Yep. Calling those out who are accusing. For Satan is the accuser. And he seeks to do that. He accuses and says, no one's going to like you because you did this, the other. And Jesus has to do that. I'm not hearing that about my chosen. Okay, so that was it's the accusers will do that. Water into wine, part of community. That's a great one, water into wine. says that, you know, I'm partaking of community, I'm doing a demonstration of what it's going to be like in the future community that we're going to be existing in. And also acknowledging that people have put themselves out and done wrong, they've been left behind. All sorts of things that Jesus does is just working with us who are going to live. Anyway, that's what the balance will be. Judas and justice. Did he see when he says, you will do greater things than these? We just need to pray about it, and Jesus will answer. We need to be looking at these things: justice, mercy, walking humbly, demonstrating community. The Baptist Union Victoria has a phrase, better together. I don't think it's unique to the Baptists by any means. We are better together. Community empowered by God. A community of faith. So this is what Jesus is saying. Trust in me. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to pay the price before I go. I'm going to go and make the place ready. Trust in me, because now you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Trust in me, because I, as the elephant in the room, I know I'm the elephant, and I'm telling you who I am. Trust in me, because if you understand my character, a new 11D